It's time for The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Monday, November 18th, 2019. We have 17 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. Today, we'll be talking again with Captain Robert Johnson. We spoke with him last week about IMO 2020. Those are international ship air pollution regulations. They're going to kick in on January 1st. A quick look at our marine weather forecast, and then we'll get into the ship schedule for the day. Today, we can expect southeast winds, 5 to 10 knots, becoming south 20 to 25 knots in the afternoon, so it's going to be windy on the beach. Wind waves south from the southeast, 3 feet at 4 seconds apart, and west swells, 7 feet at 12 seconds. And patchy morning fog today, and rain is in the forecast. Well, let's take a look at who's coming and going on the river. We have 4 inbounders, we have 5 in our Astoria anchorages, and we have 8 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river is the Denai. She's arriving from South Korea, headed for the Vancouver anchorage. She's going eventually to the Port of Portland to pick up soda ash. She'll pass Astoria around 11:30 a.m. You might see her in Vancouver by 5:30 p.m. The tug Seaspan King is arriving from Vancouver, British Columbia. She's headed for the Port of Astoria and will probably arrive there around 1 p.m. Probably what she's doing is bringing a barge down from British Columbia that she will hand off to a U.S. flag tug in the waters off of Hammond and Warrenton, and then she's going to the Port of Astoria to pass customs, and she may get some fuel in town at the fuel dock, but then I think she's probably going to go up by Tongue Point and pick up a barge that's waiting there for her. So if you see a barge anchored to the east of the downtown area in Astoria over near Tongue Point, that could be what she's coming here to pick up. The Interlink Utility is inbound from South Korea. She's a bulk carrier headed for the Vancouver anchorage upriver. She is going to the Port of Portland ultimately to pick up wheat, and she will pass Astoria around 5:30 p.m., arriving in Vancouver's anchorage around 11:30 this evening. The Mount Taranaki is arriving from Russia, headed for Portland. She's a ship that's coming in to pick up scrap metal, and she will pass Astoria around 10:30 p.m. and arrive in Portland probably around 4:30 a.m. on Tuesday. And that scrap metal comes down to the Portland area from up north, at least some of it does, from British Columbia and the Puget Sound area. It's usually crushed cars and comes down to us on tugs and barges, and then it gets chopped up in little pieces and put on bulk carriers like the Mount Taranaki, and then it heads back across the Pacific to Asia, where it is made into steel, and some of that steel comes back to us in the form of brand new cars. In our Astoria anchorages, we have the Gracia Universalis headed for Calama. She's there going up over there to pick up wheat. She will leave about 8 a.m. and arrive in Calama by about 1 o'clock this afternoon. That leaves 4 other vessels in the anchorage that are awaiting orders: the KT Birdie, the Daria Jaya, the Explorer Oceana, and the Restinga. And they are all, I believe, wheat ships, and they're all waiting their opportunity to head upriver to pick up their own cargoes. In our outbounders, the Atalanta is leaving Calama, corn, soy, or wheat on board there. Leaving around 2 a.m., she could have passed Astoria around 7 a.m. this morning. The Cephas Ocean is leaving Portland carrying wheat leaving around 4 a.m. She could pass Astoria outbound around 10 a.m. The Merritt Trader is leaving Vancouver carrying wheat at about 6 a.m., passing Astoria outbound around midnight. The Patagonia is leaving Portland with potash on board from the Port of Portland. She's leaving around 11:30 a.m., passing Astoria, outbound at about 5:30 p.m. The Equinox Agnandusa is leaving Calama with wheat on board at about noontime. She'll pass Astoria outbound around 5 p.m. The ANSAC Moonbear, ANSAC stands for American Natural Soda Ash Corporation, so we know what her cargo is. She's heading out of the Port of Portland with soda ash on board, leaving around 6:30 p.m., passing Astoria outbound, probably in the wee hours, a little bit after midnight on Tuesday morning. The Timaru Star is leaving Longview, Petcoke on board, leaving around 7:30 p.m. That would put her past Astoria outbound maybe around 1:30 a.m. on Tuesday. Timaru is an interesting word. It sounds Japanese, but it is the name of a seaport in New Zealand. And the Penta is leaving Longview, carrying wheat, leaving around 11 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 2:30 a.m. on Tuesday. Well, for most of last week, we heard excerpts from my interview with retired Columbia River Bar pilot Captain Robert Johnson. He was talking with me about new ship air pollution regulations slated to go into effect on January 1st. They're called IMO 2020 for the International Maritime Organization, an international body that sets standards and regulations for world shipping. Today, Captain Johnson will talk about whether there will really be enough of the new cleaner fuel to go around for all the ships that need it. He'll also talk about the ramifications in some countries for ships with scrubbers, gear that's used to retrofit engines so they can burn the new fuel, which releases some sulfur into the water. Here's Captain Johnson.
There was some concern early as we came close to this 2020 date that there wouldn't be enough fuel, compliant fuel, available on the world market, so ships wouldn't be able to get it. That looks like it's not going to be the case, except in a few minor ports where they just don't have the bunker capacity. And to put this in a perspective, there's somewhere between 60 and 90,000 merchant ships in the world. And that's such a big range because it depends what you call the lower size cutoff. Is it 1,000 gross tons? Is it 500 gross tons? It makes a big difference. But there's somewhere in that 60 to 90,000 ships in the world, approximately 3,600 of them will be equipped with scrubbers on January 1st. So not that many by number. Those are, however, the ships that have the biggest engines and burn the most fuel. So there's a greater percentage of the oil that's going to get scrubbed than the number of ships with scrubbers. So the sulfate that is the end product here, there's sulfate in the ocean already. And the proponents of the scrubber say that the amount of sulfur that's going to be put in the water is so small that, in theory, it's not harmful. There is a debate over that, however. To get an idea of how much sulfate there is in the ocean, if you were to precipitate all the sulfate out of the oceans, it would make a layer 5 feet thick, quite a bit of it. And the sulfate in all of the oil and gas reserves would represent something the thickness of a piece of paper. So at least in the initial stage, when there's not that many ships that have scrubbers, and over a relatively short period that this equipment is going to be used, before new technologies outdated, it's probably not a big issue. It's certainly one that's being watched very closely, and there are many people raising warning flags about it. It is also of enough concern that some ports and countries have said you are not able to use open-loop scrubbers in their waters. Singapore, Fujairah, and the United Arab Emirates have said that, and China has set certain places where you can't use scrubbers. In the United States, there have been no limitations thus far.
Do you know why they don't want scrubbers?
They don't want that sulfur going into their waters.
And that was retired Columbia River Bar pilot Captain Robert Johnson talking about the new, less polluting fuel that will become mandatory January 1st in the world's merchant fleet. We'll hear more about IMO 2020 tomorrow. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.